This is what I call the delusions of deadlines, brought to you by the Everyday Entrepreneur, where we have a tendency to get really excited about what we're building and then we create these deadlines and then we freak out and wonder why we're so quote unquote stressed and overwhelmed when all of the work that's required to meet that deadline is piling up and not happening. It's overtaking our lives. This is the podcast for the entrepreneur who wants to make a big impact, who doesn't shy away from hard work, but also wants to enjoy life along the way. Hi, I'm Heather Sager, former executive turned entrepreneur, and I've spent the last 20 years working with premium brands on sales, marketing, and communication. And I've learned that when you become a magnet with your message, you only need a hint of hustle to achieve your goals. Get ready to be inspired and ignited each week with tangible strategies on sales, speaking, marketing, and so much more. This is the Hint of Hustle podcast. Let's go. Well, hey, friends, welcome back to another episode. You have me in sexy voice today. Fun update. I apparently had the flu last week and I was down for the count. Quite literally, I was horizontally stuck in my bed for days at a very critical time. Not only am I brewing a baby and approaching the end of, I don't know, this process, I have a countdown for taking time off to get said baby out, and I'm in the middle of facilitating a live cohort. So there was not a shortage of things that, I mean, quite literally had to get done last week, and they physically could not get done last week, which brings me to what I wanted to talk about today on today's episode. And it is this, we're going to talk about stress today, all right? We're talking about stress and we're talking about the stress that we create for ourselves as entrepreneurs. I'm going to unpack this. I'm going to share with you my take on stress and how it's shifted over the years, and hopefully share with you some words of wisdom that might resonate with you. This very well might not resonate with you. You might be way more developed than me in this area, and kudos to you. I don't know, but I always find it interesting just hearing the insights of other people's brains around how they operate and recalibrate. I'm a big believer that you learn something and then you continually to learn evolutions of the same lesson over and over again. And I don't know if that's true for you too, but I learn new things all the time. But what I actually find is more powerful in my learning and things that truly shape my life is me learning different angles on the same lesson, reminding myself of some of the same fundamental principles that have worked for me in the past, but somehow I've gotten away from them and I just need to get back to them. So if you are a lifelong learner like me and always striving for finding ways to be more present, to be more pleasant, to be more productive, just to be more you, at the best version of you, then I think you're going to enjoy this episode. I don't know if I should say you're welcome for this voice or if I should apologize, but either way, it is what it is. We are here. I am intentionally, let me just add to this little fun picture. One, I look phenomenal right now. I say that mildly sarcastically, but also mildly truly because I put on a new style of eyelashes this morning. And I very much like them. They look great. But it was to overcompensate for the fact that my sickness led to a epic cold sore on my nose. And I don't know if you get cold sores, if you get grossed out by this. I mean, I'm so sorry. Just hit skip forward 30 seconds. But it's real reality. I feel like other influencers or personal brands, people don't talk about the real shit of what happens in life. I didn't post on social media very much at all last week with my sickness. But the reality is I have a fat cold sore on my nose, which normally cold sores do not go on your nose. They go on your mouth. And I get those too sometimes. But I got a cold sore on my nose. It's gross. And I don't want to show up for anything. But part of being a business is sometimes you do have to show up. And one of my commitments was I had to record a lesson today for my Signature Talk Accelerator cohort. And I had to get it done. So I put on these big, ridiculous eyelashes to overcompensate for my gnarly nose. I know it's fine. Everything is fine. I just made my little camera window very tiny and the slides nice and large. So I share that with you that some, I don't know. I think sometimes we get this picture that you have to show up perfectly and you have to like feel your best. It's okay if sometimes you show up and you don't feel your best. You're just surviving. That's just kudos to you if you were just surviving. We have seasons of that. That is where I am at right now. And honestly, I think it creates some of my most enjoyable work, maybe not my most effective work, but I've heard from many of you my most enjoyable work in terms of when I am a little bit more laid back and not so focused on being polished and effective and whatever it else is that I am. Just the shit that flies out of my mouth sometimes just resonates. So here we are for that today. So let's talk about stress, baby. Let's talk about you and me. The idea of stress, this is something that is, oh man, really relevant to me. This has been, by all accounts, a seemingly stressful year. And as I've shared in many podcast episodes this year, I haven't really been stressed at all. We've had a lot going on, right? From the business change, to the move across the state, to finding out we're pregnant, to we can't sell our house for some reason in our old town. So we are now living with a giant ass mortgage and a giant house rent payment with a baby coming in less than 5 weeks. There is a lot going on. There is a lot going on. And I would imagine you have your own version of that right now. It kind of feels like things are piling up. We always talk about this delusional mindset we all have. I think every professional on the planet is we talk about the busy season and we assume that there is ever not a busy season. There's always something. It's always back to school or the stress of starting summer or the stress of the holidays or the stress of a lunch or we could chalk anything up to being busy and stressful. And I believe it's all about how you label it. Two people can look at the same experience and one can choose it as something exciting and, oh, it's amazing. And the other one could be like, oh my gosh, that's so stressful and taxing and I'm already tired just looking at it. True, right? You just look at it from a different perspective or your different vantage point from different lived experiences, and you have a different take on it. And I'm not here to say that your version of stress is wrong. It's just maybe different than mine. I'm just going to share with you my take around how I've adjusted my relationship with stress and what I do when I'm feeling stressed. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not anything fancy. It's actually really freaking simple and stupid. But this simple and stupid hack I'm going to share with you, it's literally like four things I do every time I'm feeling stressed. My husband knows you so well. He actually prompts me doing this. I'm going to share with you today that at the end of the episode. But let's talk about stress. Now, one thing I want to share, what's been really incredible doing what I do is I get to work with a lot of experts from a lot of different backgrounds and modalities and experiences. And inside this latest version of the Signature Talk Accelerator cohort, I had multiple people addressing the topic of stress inside their Signature Talk. And they were all from different angles and different experiences. It was really fascinating. And side note, there are definitely qualified professionals who help you handle stress if this is a huge focus in your life. So please do not take lightly that I know that overwhelm and stress and physical, sometimes the physical manifestation of stress can be very, very debilitating. So if that is you, I am not trying to solve your stress problems. This is not a This is not meant to be a like cure-all thing today. I just want to share with you, as someone who is in a quote-unquote very stressful season, specifically coming out of a very stressful week, I'm going to just share with you my take around how I approach it. And take what you want, leave what you don't. But I hope something resonates with you. And also shout out to my students who talk about stress. Y'all inspire me so much. I appreciate so much. And one of the things that you often say that I would love to share with the larger audience today is this big truth. I think a lot of times people are in pursuit of trying to eliminate stress, but the goal isn't to eliminate it. It's to learn to work with it. It's to learn to let it ride. I'd say these are my words. I'd let it ride shotgun in your life, but not take over the driver's seat. So shout out to my stress reducing teachers and educators in the space. I hope I do you proud today. All right. So the thing that I think about, the reason why this topic came up for me, honestly, I had not planned on talking about this today. I woke up to pee at 3:30 this morning and I could not get this idea out of my brain. And I laid in my bed in my pregnancy insomnia for about an hour and a half, just thinking through this topic. So that's where this came from. But specifically what popped up for me is I've had a lot of opportunities where I could have been very frantic, in a frenzy, and in absolute stress mode this year, but specifically within the last few months. And I will not lie and say that I do not get those feelings of freak out and overwhelm. My husband knows this very well. But what I've learned to recognize is the difference between when I am creating my own stress for no reason versus feeling the stress and pressure others have placed on me. Let's talk about the nuanced difference. One thing that's, I think, very fascinating in this online world that we live in, specifically in online marketing and in this coach course creator business, we have a tendency to, well, we have the ability, and we always do, we create our own deadlines. So let's say, for example, you want to launch a new program, or you want to launch a podcast, or you want to launch a course, or do a new webinar, whatever it is, right? You get to decide when you do it. In fact, you have to decide when you're going to do it. And what I often see is entrepreneurs wait to declare a deadline. They're just going to work on something, and then they think miraculously, oh, why am I not making sales? Well, it's because you never actually released the thing in the world that you've been working on. You've just been working on it. But paired with that is I see this happen all the time working with my private clients in my CEO intensive day when they're getting ready to launch a new product or a course or just go through a live launch in general. They pick a date. And here's what's interesting. The date they always pick is super, super close to the current date we were living in. And this is what I call the delusions of deadlines, brought to you by the everyday entrepreneur, where we have a tendency to get really excited about what we're building and then we create these deadlines and then we freak out and wonder why we're so quote unquote stressed and overwhelmed when all of the work that's required to meet that deadline is piling up and not happening. It's overtaking our lives. And this was the thing that was on my mind today around how interesting it is. I had deadlines last week that needed to get hit because they were promised forward-facing to my clients as part of my offer. And I was so sick. I had such a high fever. I thought my water broke last week when I woke up in the middle of the night. But nope, it was just my fever breaking and me sweating through my sheets. Like that's how I was very, very sick last week. And yes, side note, I was making sure I was safe. I was monitoring things with my doctor. They were making sure the baby's okay. We're all okay. Everything's good. But what I was thinking about is I had these deadlines and they were very real deadlines because I communicated these deadlines. And old me, meaning me like years ago, like a decade ago, I would have busted my ass to work through the sickness to deliver on that deadline.
But me today, who has incredible relationships and a lot of clout and credibility and established good faith with my clients, I know that I have leeway. And the funny part is this is the first time that I have leeway. And what I mean by leeway, right, is you can push it back. You don't want to be the person who always pushes their dates back, right? Because then you lose your trust and credibility with their clients. But it's happened before. I've had to push back a release date or push back a module airing date or a coaching call. That happened last week. We had to move a coaching call around. And what's fascinating is this last week, the reason why this topic was so relevant for me is this last week, I wouldn't have thought twice about moving it. Like, obviously I'm sick. My clients, even all of them, were like emailing back going, oh my gosh, like, don't even worry about rescheduling the call. You like take care of you and the baby. But there was this other thing happening where I had a real deadline. And what I mean by real deadline is I have a ticking time bomb baby happening that come the end of November, I have to be on maternity leave because this child is getting out. This child is coming out. I'm going to have a newborn in the world, and I will not be creating course content or doing coaching calls whilst in the delusions of postpartum, especially in those first few weeks. Like, that's not going to be good for anyone involved. And that's not why I'm building this business, right? I don't want to put myself in that position. So I found myself last week in this interesting dichotomy between the deadlines that I've set, which could be flexed, paired with 5 weeks from now is a hard, immovable deadline. And it got me thinking about this. That's enough for that situation. We all got through it, by the way. I just recorded a beautiful module for them this morning. Everybody is going to get it tonight. They're going to get, we're back on track with our schedule. Everything is great. We all worked it out. But it got me thinking about this concept around how, as entrepreneurs, oftentimes deadlines is the source of a lot of our stress. And whether that's a deadline for sending an email or guilt over, oh, I didn't send out my newsletter again, or, oh, I forgot to reply to that person, or, oh, we have these quote unquote deadlines that we have in our brain, whether it's the hitting our weekly content rhythm, or it's sending out a promotion or launching a course or doing a webinar or whatever it is, right? We create these deadlines. And there's a difference between deadlines you set for yourself, deadlines you set for your clients, deadlines that are flat out delusional, and deadlines that are based around collaborations or events or strategic partnerships that you book. They're not all the same. And what's fascinating to me is when you think about these different types of deadlines, oftentimes, we react and treat all of them as high stakes, high pressure, therefore high stress. So I don't know about you, but what I see for a lot of business owners, when they look at their calendar, when they look at their to-do list, they instantly become overwhelmed because they know the deadlines are looming. And what's worse is when things are overdue, therefore like late, they're past deadlines, it just amplifies the stress. So now if you're listening to this going, I never miss a deadline, kudos to you. Kudos to you. Like, teach me your ways. I think that's a great thing. I think the reality is most entrepreneurs have a lot of deadlines. And I think the majority of those deadlines are absolute, they're delusional, they're fictitious. They're just things we have in our minds. So for example, when you think about your to-do list right now, I mean, I have probably 73 post-it notes sitting next to me of all the things I want to get done before this baby comes. And I know that they will not. So I just hiccuped. I know that when I am brainstorming ideas or thinking about what needs to get done for the quarter, I know that the way that I operate is I always come up with way more ideas than I have capacity for, and way more ideas than I actually need to hit my goals. So we have to play this role of allowing ourselves to come up with these ideas, allowing ourselves to write out these ideas, but then exercising some way to say, hold up, how are we truly setting ourselves up for success here and not for stress here? There is a difference. I think many business owners are intentionally setting themselves up to be stressed out. And if that's you, if you operate from stress often and going, oh, like I'm just, there's so many things to do. I'm just so busy. I'm working all the time. You are working on the hours, the nights, the weekends. It's constant. You're not taking time off. I'm going to tell you, you're planning for stress. You're operating in stress mode. And I really want to challenge you to start thinking about the work that you're doing. Is it true, valuable work that's contributing to your outcomes, your goals for the quarter? Is it contributing to the experience of your clients? Or is it busy work that you've added to your schedule that someone else said that you should be doing because that's what we do as online creators? There was like a big air quote around that. Hopefully you got that in sarcasm in my voice. But what I find is we need to get really good at being more disciplined and more strict with what we allow on our plate. And when it comes to deadlines, I think we need to be far more discerning on what kind of deadline we're facing. So for example, one of the things that I do is I know that I create delusional deadlines versus real deadlines. So one of the practices that I put in place is when I, let's say I agree to a partnership with someone, or I'm guest speaking inside their group, or they want me to be on their podcast, or I don't know, some other kind of thing is happening involving another person. A couple things that I have learned about me in this season of life that I do and I don't do. One of the things I always do is I always now learn my lesson. I never say fully yes or schedule without passing people to my assistant, Dorothy. What happens is every time that I say yes, and then I send it to Dorothy to get like scheduling happening, we always find that it creates stress somewhere else in the business. Because me saying yes to this opportunity means that we had already had a plan, and now we're having to shove this into a pre-existing plan, AKA more work. And whether or not that work is needed, there wasn't a lot of thinking around that. I just get excited about opportunities and want me to speak. Hell yeah. Want me to come to your mastermind? Hell yeah. But feasibly, I need a little bit of a pit bull to block my schedule a bit to make sure that I'm preserving my sanity and my energy. And my pit bull is Dorothy. And by pit bull, she's the sweetest person ever. She's like the kindest at helping people either rejecting their request or sidelining their request, put it on the sidelines until we can get to the point. And she's really great at circling back when that time comes. So that's one of the things I put into place is my own executive assistant to field those inbound opportunities. I still build relationships. I get a ton of DMs with these requests. If you've been one of those people who've reached out, I consistently say, yeah, this sounds like an awesome opportunity. I'm going to pass you over to Dorothy on my team and she will work with you on the details. And that does not necessarily mean yes. It means yes, we're going to try. But then Dorothy can help me look at it from a more objective perspective and say, all right, what does this look like? Now, second thing that we do, one of the things that we get is we get a lot of requests from people, and a lot of those requests have very pressing deadlines. So for example, I've gotten a lot of podcast speaking requests lately or guest groups, and they wanted to happen in August, September, October. Well, August, my kids were still home and my internet was crap. September, we were launching the accelerator. October, I'm facilitating the accelerator, prepping for mat leave. As you can tell, those are three very, very busy months. So what Dorothy did is we exercised a deadline-driven question. So when we were talking with people, asking the clear question, is this critical in this month, or are you open and flexible on the timeline? And by simply asking that question, we found out who really needed to fill, like they had a specific thing they were focused on, versus most people were like, oh, we're totally open. And that allowed us to set realistic, aligned collaboration opportunities versus just hammering things on the calendar. So that's another thing that we've done that has worked really well. Another thing that we don't do in our business is I don't live and die by a calendar. This might seem weird to you, but I do not live and die by a calendar. I do not put all of my tasks, all of my work, all of my things on a calendar. In fact, I rarely ever follow my calendar, with the exception of live calls, which I drive the strategy behind when I do live calls and when I don't. So I've learned and I've changed my, I changed based off the season that I'm in, whether or not the kids are home from school, whether or not it's the holidays, whether or not I'm in a hustle season or a rest season. We are very intentional around what goes on my calendar. I try very hard not to allow calls on my calendar every day. So we try to block out. I also don't do the thing where have like a call day. That's like very, very stressful for me. I hate the idea of being on Zoom all day. So the point here is I don't subscribe to anybody else's productivity model. We are constantly looking for ways that work for me to bring my best in the season that we're in. This means that we revisit how we schedule things very often, we meaning my assistant Dorothy and I, we're constantly looking at, all right, what's on the calendar that's coming up, meaning like strategically coming up, not the physical calendar. So like, for example, what's launching, what events are happening, what blah, blah, blah. We get stuff and then we schedule them on the calendar based around when I'm going to be performing at my best. So for example, right now I'm in a season where this has been all year. I do most of my coaching on Thursdays. That allows me to not have to worry about things on Fridays. We don't really schedule things on Fridays, or it's like a catch-all bonus day. But it also makes sure that the beginning of my week, we can focus on more strategic work, whether that's podcast recording, whether that's creating content for my courses, whether that's me taking days off, which I have done a ton this year, whether that's me laying in bed with the flu, or that's me just taking a random Tuesday off because I feel like I need it, or taking time off with my kids, or working on creative projects. I need days. Like, I just need free space in my calendar. I know that for myself. But for calls, we know that Thursdays, I'm not feeling at my most creative, but I do really, really well coming to live coaching. So Thursdays is a great day for me for coaching. That wasn't always the case. Sometimes I wanted to do my coaching on Fridays or Tuesdays. So we open it up. The takeaway here is you need to figure out what in the season that you're in, don't be so tied to coming up with the perfect ideal batch calendar. And more so, read the season that you're in, read the strategic goals that you have and say, how can I set myself up to be at my best? If you're the kind of person who loves to schedule everything on your calendar, my friend Sarah is like that, it totally gives me anxiety. No, thank you. But if a little bit of structure would work for you, get it going. Get it going, babe. So that's what we do is I use the calendar for live stuff. I do not use it for mapping out all the things that I do. Except for right now, it's very full with like OB appointments, physical therapy appointments, chiropractor appointments. That's the exception of that. But those are live appointments. So I guess case in point, still true. So scheduling and timelines, that is a huge thing for me is one, recognizing, am I setting delusional deadlines or realistic deadlines? And two, what are we actually putting on my calendar? So those are really powerful. Okay, so let's say I'm in a season where I'm feeling the heat of my commitments, whether they were delusional commitments to myself, realistic commitments to myself, or commitments to other people. I'm feeling the stress of it, okay? Or let's say in my personal life, I'm feeling overwhelmed and stressed by the sheer volume of shit we have going on. Both of these things are very real examples that happen to me. I mean, often in life and business, I have like a moment of like, ah. And what's interesting is I don't recognize them as me being stressed out. I just recognize them as, oh my gosh, I have a lot going on. That's my cue to go, oh, pause. Okay, here's the simple, non-fancy, don't come after me of how dumb this is, but this is what I do. This is exactly what I do to navigate those moments into, okay, I feel confident in how I'm moving forward. Literally four steps. Of course, I frameworked out this to be able to help you should this be helpful. So number one, I take a brain dump. I know that's very forward, but my brain gets constipated because I am carrying a lot of mental load. You've heard that phrase before, right? Just thinking about all the things that need to happen and all the in-betweens and all the tasks and all the timelines and all the deadlines and all the people involved. Our brain carries a lot. And this is especially true for us in business. It's very true for us in personal lives. When I'm feeling it, I know I need to take a brain dump. Now, for me specifically, that means I need to write it out. So I sit with my Remarkable tablet. It's my favorite way to do it. And I just write out all the stuff that I have going on. I have to get it all out, even though it's in our project management tool, even though the whatever is on the calendar, even though I have a specific plan written somewhere, it's still living in my head and I have to get it out. It is my process. It might not be yours, but number one, I have to get it out. I need my brain to be released from all of that mental load. Number two, I need to get back aligned and present with what is the real priority and goal right now. What is dead drop the focus? Now, in business, for me, that is what's the dead drop? The revenue. What is the focus for this quarter for revenue? How are we doing on revenue? Which leads me to step three. I look at my list and say, how much of this shit that I just wrote down has to do with the goal and how much is extra? Which brings me to step four, is I purge and rearrange and organize. And what I mean by that is it's permission for me to go like, why do I even have this written down? Is this a delusional thing that I wrote down that would be like a cool one day? Great. If I wanted to, I might write that on what I call my later list, which quite frankly, I never look at again, but it just makes me feel better knowing it's on a list somewhere. But other things I'll do, I'll say, what can I delegate? So this is typically where I would bring Dorothy and my assistant into the mix. And she would take on things that I had for some reason, we all do this as entrepreneurs, had been hesitant to delegate because I thought I had to do myself. Time and time again, a good chunk of that list goes over to Dorothy and she smashes it. She just does phenomenal at it. Other things are I start adjusting dates. So this has happened to me multiple times. If I was in a stress mode coming up for a launch that was in the future, me going, but do I have to launch it that week? If we pushed it back a week, what would that do? And just playing with the dates and the calendar, that's where things start going, okay, does that feel, you can see your physical reaction. Does that feel better? Does that cause you more stress? Does that, like for me, one of the things is sometimes if the timeline is so far out, that's what's actually causing me stress. I just want it to get done. I would rather just do it dirty and get it over with to get the shitty rough draft done versus putting it so far in the distance. I'm putting all this pressure on myself to make it beautiful and perfect. And that's just BS. You and I both know that. It's just a procrastination tactic. So sometimes I actually have to crunch the timeline because I'm pushing it too far out and it's just lingering there. So that's it. That's what I do. And that dictates then what goes on my actual to-do list for the week. So brain dump, I clarify the goal. I then cut the clutter. Like I look based off of the goals to cut out the clutter. And I start reorganizing, delegate, rearranging off of that. That's literally what I do. And every time I do that, I just physically and mentally feel so much better. It allows me to show up at my best. It allows me to show up clarified and with more intention that what I'm doing is actually going towards something that matters, something more strategic. And I mean, it's not a very sexy process and it's not something that I do. Like the question is, well, Heather, do you do this every week? Do you do this activity every month? Can we systematize this? No, freaking all that. Hell no. I'm not trying to create a system here. I'm not in a stage of my life where I can do a Sunday planning session. I'm not at a phase in my business where I can have a consistent routine around this. One day I would like to, but it's just not the season I'm in. So my schedule ebbs and flows based around the priorities. And we set specific, here's what Heather has to get done this week. We have something called the harass Heather list that Dorothy has, that when there are things that are on deadlines that are true deadlines, part of her job is she stays on me and says, hey, just a reminder, these are your four things coming up in the next 2 weeks. How can I help? And part of her value is making sure that I don't drop the ball. That is the power of assistance. Some people would be like, well, that's kind of a waste. Shouldn't you manage it yourself? I could, but I don't need to. If I know that somebody else, let me just end with this piece. Me knowing that someone else has it as their priority and the ball won't get dropped is the most freeing feeling ever. If I didn't delegate that to Dorothy to say, Dorothy, your job is to harass the crap out of me to make sure it gets done, I would then be stressed out and be like, oh, I have to get the newsletter done, or oh, I have to get this thing done, or oh, I have to whatever. Just that mental load that I would have, that mental like, oh, piece of always just nagging there, it would cloud my ability to show up in the best way that I needed to in other areas of my life and business. So sometimes a solution is really quite simple, or it seems so silly. But the point is, do what you got to do for you to be able to release some of the delusional deadlines and fictitious, crap that we think we need to do, and get really clear around what actually matters, what needs to happen today, tomorrow, next week. Beyond that, I'd say don't worry about it. You can do your strategic planning, but do not do that whole thing where you plan everything out to a T, because it's going to change anyways. So this would be, I guess, be my thoughts on stress. All right, friend, I hope that this episode was helpful for you. I hope that you liked my voice and my cheeky style today, and I will see you back, hopefully back at 100% next week. Bye, friend.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Hint of Hustle podcast. That flew right by, didn't it? Gosh, I hope I didn't say anything super embarrassing today, but if I did, it's pretty much on brand. If you loved today's episode, be sure to scroll on down wherever you're listening from. And if you haven't yet left a review, it would mean the world. Hit those 5 stars, tell other people who are prospecting podcasts how awesome this show is. Give us a little love. We would appreciate that. And hey, if you're hungry for more of what we do here on the show, you can peruse all of the past episodes, grab the show notes, and find out the latest free resources to help you get seen, heard, and paid for sharing your expertise. Head on over to heathersager.com. You can also grab the link wherever you're listening to this episode, and we'll see you in the next one.